Independent speakers and callers do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Black Talk Media Project or the Black Talk Radio Network.
Welcome, welcome, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. It's your host, David Rand, aka Dave from L.A. I want to thank you all for listening. Today is September the 24th, 2015, and it is another gorgeous day.
I got so much trouble on my mind, refuse
right.
to...
Man, let Chuck go. That is so true. That's exactly the way I'm feeling, man, because I tell you, life is strange and the things that you have to deal with. So much trouble on my mind. Refuse to lose. Man, Chuck let it have it. And I'm telling you, the ancestors is so good and such a joy. And they always take care of us because I needed to hear that because your boy is, oh man, what a crazy, crazy day. It's always, always something. So I want to say big shouts out to my man, Scotty, who doesn't even know, how this day went for me. And that's what I needed to hear. So much trouble on my mind, my man. So hey, listen, everyone, please go to Black Talk Radio Network and support the network because it is the network that is bringing you this information. It's the network that is thinking about you first, and it's the network that's actually putting you before so many things. And it is time that we do the exact same thing so that this can continue, because we have to nurture the environment in which we want to live in. We have to create and we have to be the beings that we want to be. And this network is definitely here for you and is making sacrifices for you. So, hey, let's maintain this network. Let's get it to grow, because there's so much work to do and it's so much that we can do together and gain from all of this. So, everyone, please, if you haven't told your friends and family about Black Talk Radio Network, please do that. And also, if you can donate, definitely donate, because it takes a financial obligation to have this running to way that is going to best benefit you. So there is nothing that, you know, that goes without having to be supported. Life has to be supported and sustained. This network has to be supported and sustained, and it needs to be supported and sustained by you, because there is really very few that are doing this, and it needs to come from us. So go to Black Talk Radio Network, do what you can, do something, because you really do gain from this, and it really is such a blessing that we have this. And I just want to thank you all that have donated, that will donate, and that will continue to support in so many different ways. Do what you can, because we're going to need it. Also, go to Tando Radio, radio show inside of Facebook. Check out our page that's there. Check out some of the articles that we have there. And I post everything there. Sometimes I post exactly what we're going to be talking about. And it's a great place. If you have a question or comment that you need to get answered, you can do that there. So, and while you're there, give us a like while you're there. We greatly appreciate it. I guess that's real, real important. So just let us know. And if you have a comment, you can place a comment there. So go to, that's on Facebook, Tando Radio Show. That's T-H-N-D-O Radio Show. And you can tell your friends and family about it also, because we need to grow also. Okay, so today, what I want to kind of rehash is do a little current events. But before we get going, this has been a very crazy, crazy week. I had a close and dear friend that passed, made the great transformation, And I'm so happy for his spirit that is continuing to live in another form, but in the eternal form, because we all are eternal beings. We just live in different forms. So to my great friend, Paul Jameson from New Jersey, much love, much respect to you, to the family, and make a blessed way and make a prosperous way for all of us that will come behind you in that great transformation, the most beautiful process in life is stepping into the other realm of eternity. So was much love, much respect. Also, wow, we had a great week today. A lot of people responded to Kevin being on yesterday. Just want to touch on some of that today, and then also going to touch on some of the current events that's going on. And there's one article I really, really want to get into with you guys. With this article is extremely important, extremely important. We're going to get into it, but I'm going to just repost it here inside of Tando. And what it's focused around, and I thought it was really good, and we should go through it and talk about it and just give our opinions on it. And without a doubt, today, if you'd like to get in on that conversation, it was a question that you had yesterday that didn't get answered, you can give us a call today, or on what we're going to be talking about. Feel free, jump in. A dialogue is much better than a monologue, and we'd love to hear from you. Give us a call at 641-715-3660, and the participant code is 549032. And so we're going to talk about some of the things from yesterday, and we're going to talk about some of the things that are going on now. But there's an article that I posted inside of Tando that I really want to highlight here. Very, very important. And it is, let me get to it really quick. And it's, here it is. It's, you will lose these things in the next Great Depression. So I'm going to, it was just the other day, is an article that we really, really need to talk about, because we need to prepare for everything. And this article is very telling, and it gives a very good synopsis of what's going to happen in some form of detail, because I'm going to tell you, there is no one person that could write down everything that is going to happen in this next depression. Well, we're already in it, but in the overall extension of this depression that we're in, because it's going to be individually different for different persons. Different regions are going to go through, encounter different obstacles and adversities, but it is definitely here, and this is a good start to talk about what are some of the things that this article was saying, and I'm definitely going to add some things and would love to hear from you. And I'm going to tell you, if you still, which is very highly unlikely, but it's still possible, if you have a family member that lived through the Depression, oh my goodness, if you haven't sat down to talk to them, and if they're able to talk to you about the Great Depression in the 20s and into the 30s, you have to do it. Make it an appointment. Make it, put that on your things to do this weekend, today, or tomorrow, because the wealth of information that they will give you is incredible. You know, even now from what they can, you know, what they can remember. And if you're blessed with someone that has full, where they can really sit down and explain to you, and they have full recollection of the Depression era, that person is so valuable. So, so valuable. And I would tell you, you definitely want to sit down with them, and this will aid you, your family, and if you have a preparedness group, your preparedness group, and it will definitely benefit your children and you so, so much. Believe me, my grandmother lived through the Depression, and I was able to talk to her, you know, like 30 years ago about it. and the wealth of information that she gave me was amazing. It was actually the start of my overall preparedness that started me on the real road to preparedness, because it ingrained in me that times that this is a cyclical coordinated event that we go through. And I knew then that I needed to prepare for the moments that we are in now, just before or as we go further and deeper into this depression that we're in. And so this is a great article. Let's go through it. Now, let me just say this. Let me define to you what my definition of a depression is. A depression is when unnecessarily you have economic chaos that destroys all form of liberty, opportunity, sustainability, and it is not only a depression of the monetary, but it's a depression of resources. It's when the life-giving resources are purposely taken or driven or hidden away from the general population or a selective group within that population. For Black people in this country, we've been in a great depression since, you know, even before we arrived here. It was depressing when the ancestors were stolen. It was a long-term depression that we've been in ever since. And it's really the taking away of your ability to be free and independent. That's what a depression is to me. You know, now they may try to give you an economic thing where the money supply, there's not enough money for the goods. There's not enough cash for the goods that's there. The cash flow, the money supply is what they call the money supply, basically the currency supply, the cash supply, has been turned off. And the thing about it, there will be goods that's around, but you won't be able to afford to get them. And so, you know, we go through a depression, because the bankers hate depressions, before we go into a hyperinflation. Either one is deadly. So let's take a look at this article. But if you have a comment, or you would like to talk about this with us, give us a call at 1-641-715-3660. And the participant code is 549032 is the access code number. Okay, check this out. This article is really, really important. You will lose these things in the next Great Depression. And this comes from Prepper's Fortress, posted it inside of Tando Radio Show. The audience of my bloggers are thoughtful, mindful people. Who have insight in the future. The future includes the next Great Depression. It will happen within our lifetime, perhaps within the next 5 years. From what I have read and studied, a mere 2% of our society are preppers. That means 98% of our society is unprepared for the future. The great risk to prepare are non-preppers. The greatest risk to preppers are non-preppers. That is so true. And it's basically, you know, it's not the government that's going to be a major problem. It's going to be your neighbor who hasn't prepared and you have. That's where your real problem is going to extend from, if you don't take action towards that now. An article goes on to say, in the next Great Depression, when people are hungry, desperate, and therefore have no fear of arrest, the survival preppers is going to be the target. For these reasons, I strongly advise you keep a low profile, hide in plain sight. Keep op secret. Essentially, tell no one that you are a survivalist prepper. Your first duty is to your family. You must feed and protect your family. After your family is provided for, then only can you help your neighbors. Once the next Great Depression hits North America, which everyone will lose things, even survival preppers will lose things. But a well-prepared survival preparedness will suffer less. A well-prepared survivalist prepper will suffer less. Non-preppers people will suffer greatly. That is very, very true. Okay, so now, here's some of the things that they say that is going to be what you're going to lose. The following is a list of things that you will lose in the next Great Depression. Number one is leisure. In order to survive the next Great Depression, you will work from sunup to sundown. You will make less money for much more work. Leisure time will be an extreme luxury. Any leisure time that you may have should be devoted to family time, reading and resting your body. Let me just say this about leisure time, how that's going to be lost. I like to surmise it as this way. There's not going to be very many jobs, but it's going to be a lot of work that needs to get done. And this is very true, because in this next depression that is being set forth, you will have to be able to start to fend for yourself with like you've never worked before. It will be a requirement, because resources will be very scarce, and more importantly, the medium of exchange for them will be almost desolate. You will not have the means like you have now. You won't be able to rest. You will constantly be in a state of trying to figure out mentally how to make the next meal, how to make through the next problem, how to navigate the difficulties of the day on so many levels. There will be no leisure time really for yourself like you've known and been accustomed to now. All of your energy physically and your intellectual energy will be moving at 1,000 miles a minute. And that's because the overall consequences and the ramifications of the depression is going to require that you get on this wheel and try to spin it. Keep running. Keep trying to figure out, how am I going to make it through here? How am I going to make it through this? What do I need to do here? Where am I going to find this? And this is very true. And I know this is true because of one of the things my grandmother told me. There was some leisure time, and that leisure time was only done, they spent some time in the movies. They spent a lot of time in the movies because the movies was a nickel. They were able to get a nickel to get to the movies with a starving belly to watch it. But she said that's what most people were able to do. But because in her community, they were a little more fortunate, they were still able to have some downtime. But most of that downtime was met with sleeping, getting with the family, and preparing for the next day and the rest of the week. Now, it's going to be quite different now, because the U.S. is coming off of the reserve currency status, and the overall supply is going to be so weak and so little of it. But the most important thing is the assets will be lost. The U.S. will lose its assets. China now is, and other countries are now taking possession of their assets within this country. And they're going to use those assets for their country, not for the, for what you've known as your country. And this is going to put a huge, I mean, this is going to be such a burden this time, because the resources will be leaving this country. The necessities of life will be leaving what you known as the United States. And a lot of us, a lot of the general public will be those people working to ensure, to fill the rest, to provide for the insatiable appetite for the rest of the world, and especially the greed of the people that really constructed this depression. So that's one of the things with leisure that is, you can almost guarantee that is going to happen. Number two, vacations. With no money in your pocket, there will be no vacations. If you work in the vacation, leisure, travel industry, such as hotel management, expect to be added to the unemployment, to the unemployed. Any vacations you may have or just be visiting your family, such as your brother, sister, or grandchildren. And that may be it. The time that you spend is going to be with the people that immediately around you. Immediately around you. You know, it's a time where you're going to have to consolidate everything. So if you have family throughout the country, you're not going to be able to really see them. You're not going to be able to see them because of the conditions in which the economy will be in. So you're going to have to really, really think about that. What does that mean? That means that you're really going to have to establish an extension of your family where you live right now. You have to do that with people that you can trust. The one thing about that I didn't like in this whole thing is that, well, one of the things I really want to mention is that you are going to have to create a social economic partnership with people that may not even be in your family. If you have a large family that lives where you live, that's going to be great. But I'm going to tell you, that still has to be massaged, because people are going to be in different, the ability that people have to deal with this is going to be much different. And if people haven't prepared, even in your family, you will be surprised what people will do. I always say that people go from civilized to feral, wild, very quickly. They said we're 5 meals away from anarchy. And that's very true. But see, this thing is going to be in a constant state of anarchy. So vacation and leisure time, you know, that's going to be totally out of the window. But the one thing that's important, what they were saying here, is your family set up. How is your family set up? If you have a large family wherever you live individually, have you started to prepare with them? Have you started to establish an extension of your family from your own preparedness group, with people that you can rely on just as much as family? Because you're going to need it. You're going to need it. And that trust and that stability has to be nurtured now. But now necessity will definitely aid it, but will the also the necessity for people to eat and to take care of their family will supersede it also. What I'm talking about by that, the ill side of people will also be as strongly or even stronger than, is going to be much stronger than the cohesive agreement that you may have to work collectively with people. And so this is what you have to start to plan for, and what you're going to have to mitigate in the future. Be very careful of the people that you would put into your preparedness group. Friend and family. You have to know them. and know what their stress levels are and what they are capable of. And not only that, never allow, I don't believe in allowing anyone into your group that is not bringing something before the group is established. There has to be a commitment level to your preparedness group, if you have one, that is balanced. Because I'm going to tell you, the unbalanced people are going to be an extreme problem. They're going to look at your resources as they're going to look at you as a problem to get to your resources. And not only is it going to be vice versa, we'll be under so much stress, you will look at people differently if you're not preparing for it. People that haven't prepared, it won't be a matter of I told you so. It's going to be much stronger than that. And you know how people are with just the everyday. If something goes wrong, they can't wait to say I told you so. Well, when people don't prepare and something happens, the people that did prepare are going to be even much, much more difficult than just saying I told you so. And this is something that you need to think about now and why this is so important that you start to prepare. Okay, next, it says number three, video games. You'll have the time. You'll not be able to afford a game device. You won't be able to afford a game device. Game devices are for only half to 2 to 3 years shelf life. And you'll be tired. You'll be too tired to play. Let me tell you, and this is so funny. One of the things that you're going to see is that we talked about it kind of yesterday when there's blood on the street. What that slogan really means is this. People will start to sell everything that they have. Anything of value that they have, they will look at and they will start to grab it to sell it for provisions. You can look at what's happening right now in Greece. This is exactly what is happening now in Greece and what has been happening. People have been they don't even want the euro. What they want is they want hard assets. They want tangible goods that they can trade for other goods. The barter system in Greece is the new economy. They have a black market and a bartering market, and a bartering market within the black market. It springs off in so many things. So what you're really going to see, the video games, man, people are going to be selling those like crazy. And I'm going to tell you, the first one to the bank always wins. You need to know where we are economically at all times so that you can see the signs and have the appropriate action. The thing that's so important in that is this. As this economy continues to deteriorate, you're going to have to start to liquidate other things that you really don't need. And there are some things that you should be liquidating if you can. By way of garage sale, yard sale, estate sale, whatever, however you wanted to sell it to, you want to do that while there's still a market for consumer goods. Because a video game is nothing more than a consumer good. It's a consumer good. So it's important that you know exactly where the economy is and what's happening so that you'll know which things, which consumer goods you need to liquidate to put yourself in a better position for the future. The littlest things are going to have the biggest effect. So the consumer goods, you need to go to your house and mark and know what those consumer goods are. And before things really get bad, you need to liquidate them while no one is paying attention. That's why I say the first one to the bank always win. You need to be first to the bank while there's still a market for it. So you need to identify some of the things in your house, and video games is one. Now, I will say this. There are some games that you may want to keep. Some of the old school board games, those type of things, you want to keep those because they have real value. They have real, real value. But video games, you want to use them for your benefit. There's a market for it. Sell it. If there's a buyer for it, use it. So that's what I want to say and add about video games. Also, next, it says that was number three. Number four, weight. You'll be doing more physical work, such as treading through your garden. You'll have less food. Fast food will be a distant memory. Snacks, candy will be unaffordable. Expect to lose weight. If you look at the pictures from the people living during the first Great Depression, you will not have seen any overweight people. Today, nearly half of the people in the United States are overweight. Once the next Great Depression happens and becomes a reality, very few people will be overweight. I remember there was a show, what was it? Doomsday Prepper. And there's one lady, one family. I remember her distinctly. Her and her husband, used a foreign language to communicate with each other. And they had all this food and everything else. And there was a very funny comment that she made. She said, during the next economic collapse, I will be the only person that will be overweight. And she was relatively overweight, and she was really big. But listen, we're getting ready to go to a commercial break, but I got to tell you what was so funny, what she said and what it really means. So, hey, we're getting ready to go to a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to finish this, and then we're going to talk about some other things, get in on the conversation. And the number is to get in on the conversation, give us a call at 1-641-715-3660. And the participant code is 549032. You're listening to Kando Radio Show brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
This is a journey. Journey to the top.
Tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Station. Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. And today we're talking about, we're going over some current events, and there was a couple of articles that I really wanted to go through with everyone. So we're going through this one article, then there's a couple of other things that we're going to talk about. We're definitely going to talk about the conversation that we had yesterday with Kevin. Kevin came in, and I want to just thank Kevin for that. It was a great show. And so we will talk about that and a couple of other things that's going on in the world that you need to know and be ready for. So right now we're talking about, and I would love to hear from you. Give us a call. 1-641-715-3660, and the participant code is 549032. Get in on the conversation. If you have a question or a comment, we'd love to hear from you. If you know someone that lived through the last Great Depression, and was it something that you learned from them to get you through this depression that we're going through right now? We're already going through it. It's already started. It just hasn't been announced, but you can see the effects of it because the overall cash supply is low in the country. And that is what a depression means, is when the cash is suppressed. That's what the mainstream term is. But for me, it means a whole lot more. So I want to go back to this one article. The article is "You Will Lose These Things in the Next Great Depression." So we went down to was talking about this one lady. It was weight. And this one lady that was on this old show named Doomsday Preppers, which I thought was crazy to be on that. And it was nothing more than they were just sensationalizing things. You know, some people said that it was purposely done to let people know some things. But I actually think it was multifaceted. They want to control the narrative of things. Okay, so now this one lady this lady and her husband had a large deposit of food. Extreme gourmet food and everything else. They had a large deposit of food. And she said very jovially that she will be the only fat person during the next economic downturn. And the thing about that is so naive, because that is going to cause great attention to her, because people aren't stupid. And when you go through these depressions, if you don't look like everybody else and you come out all with happy and with a big belt, a waistline and everything else, they're going to know that you have something that they need. And it doesn't matter what your security plans are, what you have, you won't have it for long. So it was funny that she thought that she would be able to continue the way that she was living, and her life and her eating habits would not change at all. That is so far from the truth. And it doesn't matter. And if it is, if it doesn't have to, is not a very wise thing to do, because you will draw very, very quickly. The unwanted attention will be right on you, and you won't be able to deal with it. Believe me. So when it says people in the Great Depression were, they weren't overweight, that's so true, because they weren't able to eat with leisure. They weren't able to have an abundance of things. They weren't able to eat a 6, 7, 8, 9 course meal. It wasn't an all you can eat buffet. It was a matter of getting by and getting from the land, and the land was only going to produce so much. And the sustainability from that time caused people to drastically, their eating habits had totally, totally changed. And that will be the same for every person here. Now, that to me, that means that you need to look at, that may be one of the things that you need to look at, how you're going to play into that, how you're going to play into it. So there is a diet plan that is coming and is right around the corner, but it's not going to be a good one. Not going to be a good one at all. But you need to know, and you need to think about those things and prepare for it, because you're not going to be able to eat the way that you've eaten in the past. You're going to have to be able to make it through, a day or 2 days with maybe 2 meals. This is what's been going on historically at these times, because you're going to be looking to barter. You're going to be looking to, how do you acquire food? You're going to be constantly in search mode for resources, and you're going to prioritize the resources that you're going to actually be searching for and trying to acquire. And that's going to be mainly the food, the water, and whatever health needs that you have or someone that you love has. That's going to be the main, the high, the high item tickets the priority is going to be placed there. You're going to place your priorities on that, because it's not going to be what it used to be before. In fast food, forget about it. They'll be gone. That business will be gone. So that was number four. Now, number five, it says retirement. Right? Retirement will be gone. Everyone will have work to do. There will be no jobs, but there'll be plenty of work to do. And this is what it says. The next Great Depression will last 10 plus years. Your retirement years overlapping with the next Great Depression, you will continue to work. If you're already in retirement, expect to return to work, even if just for a babysitting for your grandchildren while your children seek work. Well, I'm going to tell you, the children in so many instances, in so many cases, will be going to work with their parents in this next. And that's what I'm seeing in this next depression. Your children, if you're not really prepared for this, your children will be working with you. And the overall climate, working conditions that you will have to endure will be similar to the sweatshops, that the horrors of the sweatshops that you heard about throughout South America, throughout Asia, and then the camps that you heard about, you know, with that one phone with the fruit on it that has in China, the whole camp where everyone, the whole family lives, and or some people in the family have to go off to live in a camp to work. Well, you're going to see those type of working establishments and working camps, nothing more than working prisons, just like the regular prison that's here. They're going to fill those up with, and believe me, the general public will be running to them because they won't have any other alternative. They'll be running to those institutions to work for them. And everyone will be doing it in so many ways. The people that don't want, that won't do it, or the people that may not have to do it, are the ones that have already seen this coming and are preparing for it, because the key to preparation is to prepare for it before it happens. Because if you don't, once something happens, you won't know what to do once it does. The only thing that you can now is just respond to it. And that's the most difficult thing that a large portion of the population will be contending with. And even those that are prepared, you're going to have to be able to blend in, look like, act like, and put yourself in the same position as the people that didn't prepare. For all of the preppers, you are instantly going to have to become a person that didn't prepare. You're going to have to still live their life. You're going to have to still be a part of it, because that is going to be your best cover that you can have. That won't be the time to have all the lights on, have the block party going, because just like the lady that thinks that she's going to be able to maintain her level of consumption of food and her weight at it where it was, that is going to draw so much unwanted attention that your life and your family life will be at risk. So retirement, the retirement funds will be lost, which have already really been lost. The retirement obligations that are promises that any institution that you already, even if you've already retired, even if you're getting ready to retire, it does the system, it will not care where you are. It has already squandered and stolen, and it just needs the right, it needs the right event and the implausible deniability to cover its tracks from its theft from you. they have no intention on paying the baby boomers a lifelong of benefits from their years of hard work. So it's no way in the world that they're going to allow that to happen. They've already felt it. They feel themselves entitled. They've already stolen and taken those, that cash, that currency, and redistributed it into resources for them to maintain their standard of living. They're not going to uphold yours. They're not going to uphold yours. They needed to bring in a system that you would believe in, because the key to magic is not to trick you, but to make you believe. And we bought hook, line, and sinker into the retirement paradigm, because we've seen a few people retired, but you won't see the future retire. So now that's retirement. Number six, this is a good one, the truth. Governments will minimize the truth in order to prevent panic, protection, and widespread anarchy. The government will only be selling good news. In Argentina, if you tell the truth about the real rate of inflation, you'll be put in jail. Now listen, this is something that is normal, happens all the time. I posted inside of Tando yesterday where it was being reported that the government of China was telling the news agencies the only thing that they can report on is every article about the economy has to be spun or propagandized towards it doing well. It doing well. Guess what? They do that here right now. This is nothing new. This is something very common. So to criticize the Greek government, you'll be pushed out of the government. Tell the European Commission that they are the source of the problem rather than the cure, you'll be branded as an extremist, a populist, or a nutcase. Cyprus made promises to the people. All was well, up until the point that they declared a bank holiday and confiscated the money, the cash, from people's bank accounts. Governments will withhold all negative announcements up until the very last minute. Some Monday morning in the future, you will wake up to the surprise that a bank holiday was declared and your gold is to be surrendered to the government. This has happened before in the United States. This is what they do. They're going to tell you everything is fine. They come up with the propaganda, something called conspiracy theory, because they don't want you to know what a conspiracy is. And that they happen regularly. Because if you just look up the definition of a conspiracy, it's nothing more than when two or more people get together with intention to commit a crime. There is no such thing as conspiracy theory. It's either the evidence of a crime or not. But see, what they do is they control the propaganda, because they're going to have you, all those that say that there's such thing as a conspiracy theory, they're going to tell you everything is fine right up until you realize that you've just been had. So this is what the truth is going to suffer. And you're already seeing that now in the mainstream media. Congress is already at the behest of Dianne Feinstein. She said that, hey, we need to get rid of the alternative media outlets because they're not real journalists. Because you know why? They pay off the so-called real journalists that they call them mainstream media that's on the payroll and on the take and push the propaganda. Because they don't want you to know what is really going on. This is why Black Talk Radio Network is so important and relevant today. So the truth will be sacrificed in all forms. This will also be sacrificed among the people that are not preparing. They're going to, I mean, the deceit is going to be so great that it's going to be a real battle to distinguish. But one of the things is that the truth always stands on its own. So the banks, bank holidays, you know, the overall real economic data is always going to be sacrificed. They're not going to allow you to prepare, because when you prepare, then guess what? It becomes a lifestyle. And when you're a prepper, one of the first things that you learn is that you don't need them. You don't need the system. You become a problem to the system because you're self-reliant. You have the audacity to think for yourself. You have the audacity to prepare for yourself. You have the audacity not to buy the lines. And it's not just the government. It's going to be the corporations, because the corporations have taken over. And they're going to maintain the slavery that we have been accustomed to, particularly our ancestors and throughout this history here as Black people, is actually a part of the overall program that they're going to reinstitute on a much broader scale, because the business of enslaving people has been too profitable. And they're not going to give that up. A business will always tell you it's the bottom line that matters. And they'll be willing to sacrifice any and everything to get that bottom line where they want it. So the truth will be sacrificed. Next, they say money. I never call it money, because money is not what they say it is. They're talking about cash or currency. But here it says, banks will collapse in the next Great Depression, just as they did in 1929. The banks will close and you'll lose everything. The FDIC is already running a deficit. When too big to fail starts to fail, everyone gets a financial haircut. Unemployment will go past 25%. Inflation will cause the prices of food and energy to excel the resources of the average person. Will exceed the resources of the average person. Hint, buy gold and silver coins to protect your wealth. Now, let me say a couple of things about this. One of the things that people aren't realizing and not really talking about is that there will be a new petro currency, but it won't be the U.S. dollar. And what's going to happen is that in this country, you are going to have to have, and this country is going to have resources in that new denominated currency that will be used to buy energy. The new petro currency, which I believe is going to be a basket of currency, is going to be the Russian ruble, the renminbi, a couple of other from the major oil producing countries. And this is the thing with that, is that that is going to be the standard in which they're going to require the purchase of oil. And this one also in gold and in silver. And once that happens, this country is going to have other currencies. The currency that the producing asset countries require to be paid in to purchase oil and natural gas. Yes, the U.S. has natural gas. Yes, the U.S. has oil. But the infrastructure for that to be put into place to feed the appetite that it has now is not doable right now. It's not doable at all. So, hey, hold on. I'm going to get to this. We have a caller here. Let's go to the caller. Welcome, caller, to Tando Radio Show. What's your name? What's your, where you calling from? And what's your question or comment?
Hey, Brother Day. This is Rob chiming in from Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
What's up, Rob? How you doing, man?
I'm all right with you. I was in line with what you was talking about today. And,
yes, sir.
What I ended with yesterday, talking about the West Coast, and you was kind of spoke to the water situation a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I was reading on that, today, and I saw where some billionaires kind of privatized the water.
Yes.
And
Nestle.
Farmers like selling the water to people. And I wanted to know if you could just touch on that a little bit and kind of speak to where you see the water situation going in California, and will that possibly be will that possibly be involved in the depression that we're about to see?
Man, great question. Yes, it definitely plays right into it. Because with the overall drought that's happening, what I would tell you, Rob, check out this. Check out the Dust Bowl, the Great Dust Bowl. And what happened was that there was such a drought that the dust went from the West Coast all the way to Washington, D.C. And it was destroying because there was no vegetation in order to keep the dust down, and that was one of the great droughts that this country went through at that time, and it made depression worse, and so it was huge. And then the government didn't act until actually the sandstorms had reached Washington D.C. all the way from the Midwest. And so yeah, it's a very interesting read in the history and to see now this drought that's happening in California. It's really not California. It's really the West Coast. I'm going to say this. I don't believe that is a natural drought at all. I believe that these reservoirs are being drained. And when I tell you, Rob, I'm going to put a video up that I did a while ago. I was going up to Seattle, Washington. And I remember I called Cece on my way up, and I sent her a picture and a video of the reservoir. It was Mount Shasta's reservoir, and it looked biblical. How much water, and this was 3 years ago, how much water had been lost. And I firmly believe that these reservoirs are being drained. They are being drained, and through the technology, the weather weapons that are had, you know, you hear about HARP, the High Frequency Aurora Research Program, the weather manipulation program, the cellular weapons, that they can control the weather. And not only that, they already know how to see clouds in order to get them the rain. And their purpose is purposely not being done. So I really, really do believe that this drought that we're in is all a part of the Great Depression, because you think about it, one of the most important economic states in this country is California. And its foundation is built in its agriculture and its ability to maintain and to sustain the population. One of the things that corporate America used to do is before they tested any business idea, the first place that they went to beta test it or to see if it was viable, they always brought it to California.
Interesting.
So when you destroy the water supply within California, you're actually bringing about the depression. You're actually bringing about the depression, because California not only feeds the nation, it feeds the world.
Right.
It feeds the world. And this is where you can live in another part of the country and this drought from California is going to extremely adversely affect you. And what I would do, Rob, check this out. What I would say for you to do, go to some of the recent pictures, because we're going to go to a commercial break.
Okay.
Go to some of the recent pictures of the reservoirs in California. Your mouth will drop. They've gone from being reservoirs to being streams.
Right.
It's really telling.
Before
But hold on, Rob. We got to get ready to go to a hold on one second. We got to get ready to go to a commercial break. When we come back, jump back on your question, because we definitely want to hear it. So, hey everyone, get ready to go to a commercial break. When we we come back, we're going to take more of your phone calls. You listen to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
This is Brother Elliot, host of Time for an Awakening, and you're listening to Black Talk Radio Network, new media for the new millennium.
We have to begin to move to control our community. Everything that's in your community that you don't control is a weapon against you. Public education as it exists today is a weapon against black people. TV and news media, especially the WPP, white power press, white people's paper, and white people's power are enemies against black people. What the white press does is that it makes black people an enemy of black people.
Okay, welcome back everyone to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. In today's conversation, we're talking about some of the things that you'll lose in the depression. And just wanted to talk on some current events. Our caller, Rob, brother, had a great, great question, and I'm glad he brought it up. He asked about the drought. You still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
So let's get back to your question, and because I want you to make your point, because you always make some great points, man, that we really need to focus on.
Okay, my next question was going to be, all right, you said it was basically the whole West Coast, and I read something that basically said the same thing, and I was just wanted to know, as a person from the West Coast, on the West Coast right now, to a person or people that wanted to move mm-hmm. to the West Coast, what would be your advice?
And I'm glad you said that, because yesterday you brought that up, and I was like, man, I'm actively looking at leaving the West
wow.
Coast.
Okay.
And so I can just tell you what, I won't be here but now let me tell you what the real strategical thing is in this whole thing, Rob, is that, one, it serves the purpose of destroying the economy.
Okay.
It destroys the food infrastructure for the country.
Uh-huh.
And then what does it do? It causes a massive migration out of California. And you want to take a look at what the real plan for the West Coast is? Look at the refugee migration that's happening in Europe right now. Because
okay.
that's what you're going to have. Because the thing about before the advent of AC, air conditioning, people weren't able to live on the West Coast. You know, it was entirely too hot in large groups. Once air conditioner was brought about, that's when the migration to the West Coast was more feasible.
Okay.
People had a hard life. And you know, when they came for the great gold rush to get across that desert to get here, to get across the Midwest and then get into the desert, go through the Mojave and to get to California, man, that was a death march. You know, that was a real death march, because there isn't any resources in between those places, you know?
Right.
You know, this country is a very, very rural country. You know, ask the truck drivers, they'll tell you that, you know, it's extremely rural. But see, now this is the big thing about this drought. Is that it's a strategical move, because California and the West Coast is like a land of milk and honey for the agenda and for the system, because it has an abundance of resources. It has rare earth minerals, which aren't as rare as people think. It has the largest deposit of rare earth minerals in the country. It has a lot of the natural resources. It had the aquifers that they've so-called said are drained. I don't believe that they are totally drained. I think that, I mean, they've been drained. I believe that, but I believe that they've been displaced.
Okay.
Also, what happens here is there's an abundance of gold and silver on the West Coast. I mean, abundance of it. From, you know, it's still within California, in the Sierra Nevadas, and throughout the country, wherever the government says it's a wildlife refuge and you can't do it, that's because they do that because they're hiding that there's an abundance of gold in that area. So you think about it, who would want the West Coast? Who would want the West Coast? It would be the new economy. It would be China. China has always had a big interest, and Russia has always had a big interest in the West Coast, up into Alaska, because of the resources that they command. So this is a strategical move, and they're going to get all of these people here in California to run. But there are some things, if you were going to move here, there are some things that I would definitely suggest that you do. And one of the things that I suggest you do is to get a device that can actually make your own water from the air. There are actually devices that do that. They're expensive. They're in back order, but there are devices that can make about 8 gallons a day, and you can run them off of solar energy. California and the West Coast is a jewel in the eyes of the controllers.
Can I get one more question there?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, then with that being said, piggybacking off what you just said, now do you see a comeback, basically, for the land of California, for those who you might say want to stick it out and or move there anyway?
I can see it coming back, but I think there's some real major problems. But now, you know, the problems that California is starting to experience is that the Pacific Ocean is dead from Fukushima. But that problem is going to continue to spread itself everywhere.
And that's the radiation, correct?
Yeah. Yeah.
I remember Brother Scotty held a program concerning that.
Yeah, and it has not changed. One is only gotten worse, and it continues to get worse.
I heard that's affecting maybe like the whole West Coast too, right? Or a lot of the West Coast over there.
Yeah, it's definitely started to cause a massive die off of
Brother Day.
Go ahead, Scotty.
Hey, yeah, and greetings to the caller from Wisconsin.
What's up,
Brother Scotty? Hey, Brother Rob. The last time I had spoke to Brother Rob and we were on Tando radio show, but we were talking about that radiation in Fukushima. Yeah, I remember because you were talking about moving there. But if I recall from that program that I did with the sister on it, and also from further reading, is that black people have a natural barrier. Or excuse me, not barrier, but a certain level of protection through melanin from radiation and stuff. So if you do that, plus, you know, eat the right foods to, you know, cleanse your system and stuff like that. So I guess I'm saying, people, the more melanin you have, if you in those areas, who knows what it might look like in 30, 40 years. You know what I'm saying? Because those that don't have protection might die off. So.
Now, one of the things that was amazing that they found in Chernobyl, and Scotty's absolutely right. If you're able to detox, the only thing that the only problem is that it's great when the radiation gets turned off, but this radiation is continuing to spew because it's a plan. They did this purposely. Now, one of the things that what Scotty is saying is that the body, if you have the right way to detox it, and you know, the body will actually, one of the things that they learned in Chernobyl was that the animals started to adapt to the radiation as a mineral. And that is something that's, you know, really, really positive. You know, it was different stages that they went through, but I do firmly believe, you know, what Scotty was saying, that we as black people, if we take care of ourselves, if we're able to detox, continuously on a good regimen and eat the right foods and eat clean food, then that's one of the things you're going to have to be able to do. You're going to have to be able to get these heavy metals out of your body and protect, you know, through iodine. But now the thing about the iodine is that, you know, the iodine that's significant for you comes out of the ocean. So you got to make sure you're getting the iodine from the right place, you know, and from a clean water source. So, yeah, it's definitely been some scientific proof to that. And I wholly believe that our bodies are so much stronger than, you know, than anyone else's because, you know, we were the original. So we don't have the deficiencies that other people have, you know. We don't look like beef jerky from being in the sun, right. You know. And that's one of the things that the melanin is actually protecting you. And that's one of the great things, the intrinsic value of gold, is that it protects you from that also, you know, in so many ways, and how to deal with that. I don't want to give, you know, I'm not giving medical advice, but I know one of the things that I look at is monotonic gold for different things that help you out, and I'm good with it for me. So, but that would be a private conversation. But yeah, Scotty's absolutely right.
Thanks for taking the call, and I'll mute my line and listen.
Okay, cool. Thanks, brother, for calling, Rob. Look forward to talking to you in the future.
Definitely.
Yeah, Scotty, we got a
Q and A queue is cleared.
When is Scotty for this? Yeah, we're gonna have another show.
Yeah,
on,
I'm here.
Hey, Scott. Yeah, Scotty. Yeah, we gotta have another show to update on some of the mass die off from Fukushima, and then also get Kazaya and a couple of other people that. And just get some people in the medical field, some really good people in the medical field, even though we know that they're starting to kill them off in droves now. And that's something we need to also talk about on the show, too, is how there's a design, there's a devised plan to do away with the doctors that really care. The holistic doctors are being murdered. Posted that here too as one of the things I wanted to talk about, but we'll talk about that a little bit later. So be mindful of that. There's a reason why they're getting rid of these doctors. You know, I think the count is now like 15, and there was a big incident at a holistic doctors convention where all of them got poisoned, and some of them almost killed a couple of them. And I think there's a plan to get rid of these people, so we got to be careful of that. Get the information, protect the source. Get information, but protect the source. So, great question, Rob. So now it was we were talking about the resources. Let me get back to this real quick. And we were talking about the money system. Well, in this whole thing. The FDIC, which stands for the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, they don't even have enough reserves if one major bank in this country goes under. And then, you know, I talk about this all the time. They don't even, they're outdated now. There is no real reason for the FDIC. It's just a little sticker that they put on their door to get you in. Because they've already been totally neutered because you're no longer a depositor. So the FDIC doesn't get involved in investment. That was one of the things that I was talking about yesterday with MF Global with John Corzine, the former governor of New Jersey, when he worked at MF Global and stole everybody's accounts, liquidated their accounts. They had the nerve to go to the FDIC to ask the FDIC to help them. And they purposely did that for a reason. And the reason why they did that so that the FDIC could say in advance, oh, we don't do investment. And there was an article from the old FDIC chairman The last one, the lady, I can't remember her name. She was back in 2010, 2011. She said this telling statement. Her statement was, there is definitely austerity coming to the general population. That's the last person in the world that you want to say anything about austerity. Why? Because she's telling you everything you have in your bank account is going to be lost. Not just in your banking account, but anything in the financial realm is going to be lost. She was giving you the clues because they always tell you. When she said that austerity was coming, she didn't say when. But if you look at what was legislated, what has been adopted as policy now you can see what she was talking about. What she was talking about is this. Now no longer are you a depositor in your bank. Anything you put into a bank account is no longer a deposit. Yes, you fill out a deposit slip. Yes, you have a checking and a savings account. Yes, you could have a CD. Yes, you can have a Roth IRA. Yes, you can have all different kinds of accounts, money market accounts. You can have all the accounts that you want, but none of them, from your checking account to your savings account, none of them are classified as depositors accounts any longer. Now you're an investor in the bank. So just like when MF Global, which was the overall poster event and the overall test, the beta testing of how the general public will respond to this. But because we only follow what mainstream media says, we don't develop the real journalistic characteristics that are needed or attributes that are needed in the overall media. We don't know what really happened with MF Global. The only people that really know about what happened with MF Global are the people that are in the alternative media and the people that follow it, that have been putting this stuff together for a while and can see and start to paint a picture of what's happening. And it's beyond the point of no return. So with MF Global, FDIC came in and said, nope, that's investments. We don't do investments. Guess what they're going to say when the banking crisis happens? Nope, that's not us. We don't do investments. They're going to say that the bank has to first liquidate all of its investment. What's the bank's investment? Now you are, before FDIC can be invoked. And by the time that happens, you've already lost because you'll have a bond. What they're going to do, like they did to people in Cyprus, is they're going to give you a bond in a bank. Who wants the bond of a bank of somebody who can't pay their bills? That's like getting someone with bad credit. You're going to get from them an assurance, that a piece of paper saying that they owe you something. That means absolutely nothing. You're not going to get anything. They're in default. So that's what they're talking about here. The FDIC runs at a deficit right now. And then the unemployment rate is going to be crazy. Employment is going to be difficult unless you establish your own employment now that can reach into a global market. This is why it's really so important for us to start to, even if you have a so-called good job, it's so important for you now to look into being self-sufficient outside of the economy than one that you live in. This one here, you really need to be in the global market in business for yourself. Yes, you can do that as, you know, move into that in a way that you can tolerate it with your risk tolerance. But I tell you, this is the most important thing. You want to get in the economy of the markets that are emerging. They call them the emerging markets for a reason, because there are declining economies that they don't tell you about. and you happen to live in one here in this country. So I would highly suggest that everyone, one of the things that you want to do to protect yourself is that you want to get into a business that you can internationalize, that you can do business globally, so that the overall economic downturn that will happen here will not affect you as much. And also will provide you with the ability to seize on some of the infrastructural assets that are needed to revive the economy at the appropriate time. Because that is one of the benefits that there is going to be. The economy will continue to happen. It's just that it will be in a state of decline, and we want to prevent you from being in that decline. Okay, next. It says safety. Safety. During an economic collapse, crime will become rampant. The looking well-fed, prosperous will make you a target. This article is written pretty bad. During an economic collapse, crime will be rampant. Looking well-fed and prosperous will make you a target. Every trip away from your home will incur risk. One of the biggest problems in Argentina and Greece, who are already entered into their next Great Depression, is crime and corruption. Once in the next Great Depression, you dare not let your children play outside. Security will be a very high priority because crime will be rampant, because this is why you have the militarization of the police department. This is why, because they want to bring more economic pain, so there will be real instability, and you will be so consumed in that instability that you won't be able to respond to the economic crisis yourself. They've got the perfect plan for this. They're going to hit everyone on multiple fronts. And once that happens, they realize that, you know, the government can only do so much. You know, they say that, you know, a lot of people are worried about martial law. Well, one of the things about martial law is that it can't really be actively affected throughout this country. But what could be in effect is the case for martial law. How do you do that? Easy. You collapse the economy and every neighbor will become a problem for everyone. Because when people aren't prepared, what are they going to be doing? They're going to be fighting for the resources. They've already programmed us on this, on how to act this way through how we look. Take it as an example, Black Friday. Look how people act at the stores on Black Friday. Now imagine when they have to act that way when they're fighting for the necessities of life. We've been so programmed. We so walking away from our ancestral truths on how to live civilized, how to live within our means, how to live within the means of the ecosystem, how to sustain a culture and to build a nation. So we got another caller. Let's go to this caller. But one of the things I want to say also, let me tell you how this food thing that's going to happen with this economic crisis. Once the lights go out, think about all of the stores that we have. All of these stores are basically cinder block prisons. How are you, when you're not even going to be able to have refrigeration, and then there's going to be another big problem. Where are you going to get the lights in the daytime in order to navigate through all of this? Man, these people have engineered this thing completely. So let's go to this caller that's waiting. I don't like to keep them waiting. Welcome, caller, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your question or comment?
Hey, this is Sister Davis, part of the Davis team, and we are in heading east, and we're in Kansas, and it's nothing but Kansas, just land all around. My husband's sleeping, because I know he would have been called in, but right, right. You were on such a good flow, I just didn't even, you know, from day minute one you started talking, you know, my mind was clicking, but you were on such a good flow, I didn't want to interrupt, but,
no, Sister Davis,
yeah.
Hold on, Sister Davis. You all, you need to call in when you feel that you need to, because what you guys bring to this is so important. And you know, you're one of my people that I turn to for different things. And you're a part of my family, because of the relationship that we've built. And your information is always spot on because you really care and you really love, our people. And that is something that we always need to really nurture among ourselves and other people, so people can emulate and see if they can do it. So, no,
right.
Sister Davis, you call in anytime. What's going on, Sister
Davis? And we understand and we appreciate all your kind words. But I do want to, just before I forget, when you and Scotty have I know Scotty was on and he said about the radiation and stuff, please
yes.
call me. We want to be a part of that because, you know, we're from Central mm-hmm. Pennsylvania,
mm-hmm.
right? About 25 miles north of Three Mile Island.
Right.
And that fiasco, when that almost went down to 30 minutes in meltdown.
Mm-hmm.
So we have some little stories that we want to share with you about radiation and the high cancer level that's there. But
mm-hmm.
we'll talk about that another day. But that radiation thing is a serious, serious monster. And
yes.
my husband follows it a lot from Fukushima. And you know, the Pacific and
mm-hmm.
all of this washing, you know, all the animals and things dying and the fish. So I know he's going to want to chime in on that because that's serious. And as far as the brother talking about moving west, we, you know, we're truck drivers and we see the mass exodus coming out of California. I think I posted it one time on RDP
yep.
because as truck drivers, we're trained to stay away from U-Hauls. U-Haul trucks, because generally you have to understand a person that's rented a U-Haul truck usually don't know how to drive them.
Yeah.
They're unsure. They don't know where they're going, blah, blah, blah. They have some trailers. They're not really paying attention. So they're like,
they didn't connect them correctly.
Right. Yeah. So we always kind of steer clear of them if we see them on the road. So we see so many of them. I mean, I've never in my life seen so many U-Hauls heading east. When
yeah.
we're out and about. So that's a heads up for me. I'm sure they're not taking all their kids to college. So that's what I want to say about that. But I know you have a list of things you were talking about with the being in the depression era. And I was writing down a couple of things as you were talking, but I don't know if pets is on your list of things, but
yeah.
is pets on your list of things? I don't know
It is on my list of things and how
okay,
you
okay.
And the importance of your pets and the animals
right.
because they're going to play a key role in, I'm glad you brought it up, in your security. But go ahead, Sister Davis.
Yes, they're going to be twofold because one thing about pets is that you're going to feed your children before you feed your pets. So if you have a little fluffy pet and you're going through the era of depression where we're trying to eat and we're trying to save our water, and if you don't have a working animal, you probably won't have a lap dog because there won't be,
right.
you got to be realistic in it that
right.
if the dog isn't for true protection, that it's an extra mouth to feed. So
right.
that's something to think about. Now, if the dog is a protection, you know, or a working dog, a dog that works, because we have some friends from Africa, and they look at us like, if that dog ain't working, Africans don't have pet dogs inside their house. Because they might if they live here in America, but in Africa, they think, right, they think dogs should live outside and
yeah.
they should be working. They should be, you
yeah.
know, hauling something or barking, you know, with, you know, your cattle are working.
Mm-hmm.
They don't look at pets as dogs. They just don't. They're not being nasty or facetious about it, but it's just that, you know, they have to feed them. And if they're not working, they don't need to be fed. And I'm not, and I, you know I love dogs because I breed Yorkies, so I love them. I'm just saying, as people going into this depression era, you have to look at what you have to feed in your household. And I have to look at it, too, because I want to feed my children before I feed my dog.
Yeah.
You know, there's only so much food. It can't, you know, that's just where I'm thinking. And people need to think that, you know, it's something to think about. Mm-hmm. And also I wanted to mention about natural hair. Guess what? We all going to have some natural hair come depression time, because you're not going to, as ladies, you're not going to be affording, you can't get hair done and hair weave. You know, it everything will be so scaled back to the necessities. And once again, us being from Central Pennsylvania, we know a lot of Amish people. And Amish are the preppers extraordinaire.
Yes, they are.
They've been prepping all their life. They don't know the preppers, I don't think. They think it's a lifestyle. But if you look at it, they prep all year for, the farming, just everything. They don't use electricity, and that's true. They don't use electricity, and they survive. They can. They dry their food. They work hard during the day because it's lights out at night. So they watch the clock to make sure they start at the beginning of sunrise and they end at the end of the sunset. So there are people that we can kind of look at, kind of peek in and, you know, maybe get some books that the Amish kind of used. The Farmer's Almanac is based on Amish, a lot of Amish living, you know, as far as farming. And in the Farmer's Almanac, they have a lot of little tips about things also. It's just more than sunrise and sunset. It's kind of like their little National Enquirer, I guess. It tells them all the little things they need to know. So a lot of times, if you see them at the grocery store, just kind of pick one up. You'd be surprised all the different information that's in there. And you know me, Dave. You know, we scavenge and we downsize. Yep. That's one of the things I have on my list, just to remind everybody. You said about video games and things. Downsize now while things are, or you could get money for your stuff. Mm-hmm. And that was so key. Because us women and men, you know, we have a whole wardrobe of clothes that we can't fit or no longer wear. And this is a good time. The seasons are changing. Start downsizing, everybody, you know, because that's extra money you can buy natural foods with, or oregano oil or something that, you know, people say, well, that stuff's expensive. Start downsizing. You got all extra TVs that you don't use with the big tubes. Somebody will buy them. You know, start getting rid of stuff, you know, look in your rooms, look in your third floor, look in your basement, start downsizing on that. I also put on my little list photos, because one thing I do think that once we go to the depression era, right now we keep all our photos on our phone or our computer, and when that stuff don't work, you might need to have a face of a loved one just reminding you that you're loved. So print some of them babies out, you know. Because that's something you're just not going to have.
Your psychological
mindset.
and welfare is going to be paramount. I'm glad you brought that up, Sister Davis, because I very, very rarely have come across that. You're absolutely right. You're going to need your pictures. The things, the ways of the old are going to be new again. And that's why Amish and the Farmer's Almanac, that's a must-have book. That is a must-have book, because we've lost our ancestral ties to be able to read the stars and to read the environment and to interact with the environment to know what's happening, what's coming. You would know when rain was coming months and months in advance based off of the art of being able to read the stars and read the constellations and read all of the things that's going on, the planetary alignment, you know?
And like you said, without TV and video games and all that, you're going to have a lot of time on your hand, and the time is still going to be valuable, so you're going to have to kind of work on those Farmer's Almanacs, looking at the stars at night and, you know, seeing which way the wind is blowing. All that's going to be very dynamic, because now there won't be 4 or 5 hours a night that you sit back watching TV. On my little list, I also have water, because I know the brother had called about the water. And yes, you know, we went past Mount Shasta. I was so glad Richard was driving, because I like to have my head out the window looking at that water that was not there. I couldn't believe it. I was devastated when I first saw that. So much land. I mean, there's boats that will never move because there's no mortar between where the marina is and where the water is. They can't move them unless you take a trailer, a truck, and move it off the land, because it is so shallow. And I was pretty devastated when I saw that. I took some pictures, and I went back and did some research on the computer to see what it looked like a couple years ago. And I saw it for myself. That is devastating, especially when you see Mount Shasta sitting there with snow on top. You're like, but that's an oxymoron. You see snow at the top and you see no water below. And it's like, what's wrong with this picture? So that's, water is key. And I did want to mention that a lot of people, they do buy bottled water, and, you know, I know with bottled water, this and that, but one of the things we can conserve, instead of throwing out your bottled water, excuse me, your empty bottles, you can always use tap water, refill those, stick them in your basement or wherever you're prepping your extra supplies, and label them as tap water, because once all this stuff kind of happens, you're going to have drinkable water and you're going to have usable water for flushing a toilet or washing up or you know, rinsing
and everything else that you need it for. Right.
Right. And you don't want to use your precious drinking water for that. So in the meantime, instead of throwing those bottles out into the recyclable bin, you can just take your time, recycle it, or you can use put rainwater in it. You know, you get a big rain, put a bucket outside and put that in bottles. So that can conserve a little bit of household water. And I had one more thing on the list was freeze dried. I was listening to a prepper show over the radio channel when we was driving. And they were talking about a freeze-dry machine, which is a little different than just dehydration.
Yeah, it is.
And I'm going to have to listen to it. I haven't recorded. I'm going to listen to that show again and get the information of this freeze-dry machine that they have that's supposed to be affordable. Because so many times, like you said, you know, how if the lights go out, you can't have the only party house with all the lights on. And, of course, if there's no food, you don't want to be cooking, you know.
Right.
You don't want to be cooking because everybody's going to smell it. But with freeze dry, you can always just eat, you know, freeze dry what you're freezing, freeze dry it, put it in containers, and you can just eat that yourself. That's dry. Yeah. That's going to give you nourishment, you know, and you're not going to smell it, or you can reconstitute it with water if need be.
Right.
Because, like you said, a lot of people think, okay, well, I'm just going to go out back and pull up the grill. Everybody eat. I'm going to eat. You know, and no, you can't, you know, but that's what people will think. You know, I mean, we have to understand people haven't lived through the depression. They don't know.
No,
and just one more extra thing I did want to mention. I don't know. Do you got to go to commercial break?
No. You good. Go ahead.
Okay. One more thing I want to mention is that my dad is 85 and he was born in 1930. So yes, of course, I tap his brain all the time about little things.
See?
And, cause you remember you said about tap your elders in the family, and I ask them stuff all the time, and I remember my grandmother, she was born in 1900, and she passed away in 1988, and I was with her a lot, and yes, they did all, you know, they made it through the depression just by the skin of their teeth, though, but ever since then, my dad has always been very frugal. That's how I learned my frugalness from, because he lived through that, you know, and he's taught me, and it's funny, when Richard and I first got together, my husband used to kind of laugh at me because he'd see me picking up something out the trash or something, and you know, and I'm like, you know, not picking up, like if I see a lamp, somebody throw a lamp away, you know, they have no more use for it, and sometimes you think, okay, well, it's trash, you take it home, and it works, they just threw it away because they don't want it, they didn't throw it away because it didn't work, so, you know, I saw my dad do that. And that's kind of how I got it from. And then sometimes, of course, I sell those things and make money. You know, someone else's trash is someone else's treasure. But yes, yeah. Talking to the elders and the family also helped. And one more thing I want to mention, I think Cece posted one time about Little House on the Prairie. And I don't know if that was a show that she's watched, but I used to watch that. And mm-hmm. I used to watch The Waldens, which mm-hmm. The Waldens lived through the Depression, and The Little House on the Prairie made it through the Dust Bowl, pretty much.
The Dust Bowl,
so
right.
Those are little shows that do give you a lot of key advice, you know, because if you watch Little House on the Prairie, you're going to see that mom, she cooks on a wood stove, you mm-hmm. know. And they live in a one or two bedroom house, like a one room house. So that gives you some idea, because that's where we might be living in, a one room house. You know, you can see they wear the same clothes most days.
Yes.
Because you don't be washing. Ain't going to be no changing three clothes 3-4 times a day, because you ain't going to have it like that.
Nope.
You know. And if you watch the Waldens, you see them canning and watching the radio, sitting together as a family, because that's all you're going to have. And mm-hmm. you made some really good key points. So I did want to just add some of that good stuff. But it was funny when Cece posted The Little House on the Prairie, made me think, yeah, well, I used to watch The Waldens. But there are people who made it through those types of lifestyles. And, you know, you can go on some of those back channels and still see it. But that might be something that these new people need to see, because
yes.
It's a whole different lifestyle. And you know, we're amongst it. We
yes.
need to start showing our children how to downsize. Have them go through their toys. What toys don't you want? Because it's not just us as adults are going to go through it. Our children are going to go through it. And like I said, our pets, our families, you know, you're not going to have extra pets in the household. Cats, dogs, gerbils, fish.
Nope.
We won't have that.
Those are all luxuries, right.
Right. And people don't look at it as a luxury, because it just looks like, to them, it's something they've always had.
Mm-hmm.
But those are things that we would have to give up
yep.
slowly but surely. And it's just something to think about now. Wow, we can freely give those things up. Because
yep.
right now, we'll be making a choice. Later, will be no choice.
No, the choice
will
be made
choice.
For us. We will only have the essentials of life. The non-essentials will not... We will no longer be consumers. We will actually become the scavengers of the resources, the collectors
right.
of the resources. And that's, you know, is a big difference in lifestyle. And you know, with all of this bad, there is some real good that will come out of it. We will start to change as people.
Mm-hmm.
We will start to realize some good. You know, Sister Davis, you always bring up some of the some great points, and I'm glad that, as always, you bring up, hey, listen, there's the potable water and the non-potable water, the tap water and the drinkable water, because water is going to be such an important commodity for the ancillary things that you're going to need, and you don't want to use your drinking water for that. And you're absolutely right, and I'm always glad that you remind us of that, because it's a key thing that we forget about. We only think about water from the standpoint of drinking. We don't think about water from the standpoint of so many other things that we use water for.
Right.
And you know, and that is a key component, because you want to preserve your drinking water as drinking water, you know. But
correct.
you're going to need water for different other things, you know. And it's so important. And you know, like the pet, you know. You know, if it's not going to be an asset to you, then it's not going to be a necessity. So all of the leisure things, the toy pet, you know, the little small and all of that other stuff. Oh man, that you won't see people walking around with their toy, you know, dogs and cats and things of that nature. And if you look through the Great Depression, a lot of those things weren't around, because I hate to say it, what happened to them, and so many things. The deer population was almost went to extinct. The squirrel population, the raccoon
that's
population
right.
was
possums,
was
all anything. Mm-hmm.
Protein was
that's
very
right.
hard to come by. And,
that's right.
And
I think the fact that we pretty much live in a truck, we going back and forth across the country. You know, we have water. We have to conserve. You know, sometimes we'll take the ice water and, you know, that comes from, you know, we have a refrigerator, but we also have an ice chest for other, like we put all of our water in an ice chest with ice. Then we use our refrigerator for refrigerating things that we need, that need to be refrigerated, like some of our food. We didn't want our water to take up that space. But then the water that is in our ice chest, like we'll use that too for the dogs. Obviously, I mean, we can go into a truck stop and get water because, you know, we can still do that. But just as in the truck, you see how living in a small space and what is necessity. Because if it's not necessity, it's not in here because I don't have the space for it. But I do want to mention that once during the summer, we had a transition where we was coming from one job to another. And I put a lot of our stuff in storage, in a storage garage. And boy, when I needed my stuff, boy, them little rodents that I never seen, never saw a rodent, never saw a mountaineer, got to a lot of my little stuff. Stuff that I thought that they, like baby wipes. I do, you know, I have a lot of containers, like plastic containers that have baby wipes. They ate through the plastic to get to the baby wipes, to just tear it up. I guess they were nesting. I don't know what they were doing. Little things, that, like I had dog food in there in a container, like a little plastic container. They ate through the container to get to the dog food. Now my good rice, the stuff that I have, I took a lot of stuff and put it in the house. But some stuff I just had in a box that I stuck in the storage room, and I was heated when I my stuff was. Because once a mouse touches it, you don't want it, you know. It's I throw it out. But when that's all you have to eat, you might be eating with the mouse being tore up because there ain't, what you gonna do? Either mouse gonna eat it or you gonna eat it. But we have to think mindset that everything's gonna be hungry.
And the rodent population is going to swell.
It's going to swell. And just like you want to put stuff away and put it in containers, if it's not glass or metal, they're going to eat. They ate through plastic. They ate through plastic to get to a baby wipe. I should have taken a picture of it, put on the arse on the sandals.
Sure will.
Because I would never have. But I guess they smell the fragrance that came from it or, you know, like I said, when they and it wasn't rats. They were just mice. They were not rats. It wasn't rats in there. It was just field mice in a storage garage. So we have to be mindful of when we're prepping, everything's hungry.
And that rodent population is going to explode, and you're going to have to be able to navigate your way around that. And that's why those Mylar bags are so important, because they keep the smell, they contain the smell of the food, and you want to definitely have those because their keen sense of smell is remarkable what they have to do for food.
Right, because I didn't have any clue. I thought I had everything pretty much tied up or put up, and when I went back in to move the stuff out, I saw all the little damage that they did. And I was very surprised because it was just stuff I didn't think about. But luckily, we were in a position you could just go buy some more. But what if you're
position? Sister Davis, hold on. There's another call. I want to bring her in. Don't go nowhere. I want you to I want you to talk to this caller with me also. Welcome, caller, to Tando Radio Show. What's your name? Where you're calling from? What's your question or comment?
Hey, how you doing? My name is Jerry. I'm calling from Chattanooga.
Jerry, what's going on from Chattanooga?
Hey, how you doing? I was just
good,
wanting to say, brother. How you doing, Ms. Davis?
Hi, I'm fine, thank you.
Hey, Sister Davis, this is Jerry from he's in RDP. You see him posting this is Jerry. You know Jerry. You see him posting stuff. What's going on, Jerry?
He talks to me about my children a lot, so that's great.
Right.
Oh, okay.
I wanted to give everybody a little heads up on some more prepping stuff, things along with guns, dirt, gold, things like cigarettes during this upcoming time. Cigarettes and like a little bit of little things of alcohol, because it's going to be a very stressful situation for a lot of people. And those are going to be things that you can barter with also. Little $2 bottles of the little liquor. See, I drink, so which I need to stop, but I know the value in it when it comes to scripts also.
Yeah. Right.
So those type of things. Another thing the guy was talking about with the water, I was just reading an article on pine tree bark. If you hook that up to a tube and put like a little clamp on it and let that seep through the bark, that'll also purify your water. I was just wanting to let some people know about that. It's because everything is not costly. But it was one question I had for you, Dave, was I've been getting a lot of info about different job opportunities. And I was wondering how real is that, considering what we're up against right now?
Job opportunities? What do you mean?
I was listening to a station this afternoon, and there was a guy talking about different technologies and stuff. And then I had, I'm not sure if everyone knows about this thing called Paycation. Well, there's some guys in my city that's going around talking about Paycation and how they're going to grow within the next decade. And I'm not sure if they understand what we're in for right now.
Right. Yeah. I think that there are going to be some opportunities that you really want to get into. Let me tell you some people that are going to do well no matter how this economy goes. Let me tell you. They're going to be doctors, EMTs, your intrinsical value people, your dentists. And then guess what? If you can actually learn some of those skills, those skills are going to be essential, okay? Because the necessities of life is going to be, you know, the real things that are going to matter. Things that are based off of consumerism, totally gone. Your nail shop, your barber shop, you know, hate to say it, they're going to be gone. Because you really think about what are they there for? They're a part of the service economy. The service economy is going to be smashed. Totally smashed. Because a service economy can only exist when there is a strong economy. And people are going to stop doing certain things. So I would look at the intrinsical values, your electricians, your engineers, you know, those type of things, your welders, those type of things, a dentist and a doctor and a paramedic. A paramedic is probably going to be more important than a doctor will be because they understand how to actually treat things trauma related and they deal with it. So, you know, a lot of the doctors today, all they really are nothing more than certified drug pushers. They don't really, you know, that's why you want to get your medical advice from people that actually have been practicing medicine. You know, that's why our older doctors, they're some of the best doctors in the world, you know, and because they actually practice the art of medicine, you know. In today's world, they're just doing the art of subscribing. They just sign their way through things, and they really don't know a lot that's been going on. So, yeah, Jerry, I think there are some job opportunities and employment opportunities and business opportunities that are going to be based in what your overall intrinsic skill is. How can you – do you know how to build an aqueduct for farming? You know, your farmers – oh my gosh, they're going to be so important. It's going to be, they will always eat, you know, because their knowledge is going to be sought after in so many ways. In so many places and for so many people, you know. So I think you have to really look at the service economy versus the intrinsic economy. If it's not something that has real intrinsic value that is going to be able to teach, that's a necessity. I really wouldn't move into that for the future. Temporarily, yeah, as a hustle to do whatever you got to do. Oh, without a doubt, you do whatever you can do. You know, definitely never walk away for an opportunity to prepare for tomorrow. So, you know, because the future belongs to those that prepare for it today, is what Malcolm X said. So, Yeah, Jerry, I would definitely do that. And then, you know, the great thing that you said with the pine needles is so important. Wherever you live in this country, you need to look at what assets and resources are available for you for everything, because what you have, I don't have pine straw here in SoCal, but what I do have is I have sand, and I have, you know, so there's different ways to purify water. If you have where you live, you need to find out where you live, because that's where you're going to be in contention with the adversities of light. And there are different places are set up for different things. The desert is different than the wilderness or the wooded areas. So great point, Jerry, because that is so, so true. As always, man. Anything else, Jerry?
Nah, right now I'm just listening and soaking up as much knowledge as I can. Huh?
All right, bro. Well, listen, man, we appreciate you, man. If you wanted to hang on, definitely do that. Sister Davis, anything that that you would wanted to add to that?
Yeah, I do believe, like you said, as far as if you're looking at some endeavor for a hustle for a little bit of money here or there, but the powers that be don't want us focused on prepping or long-term anything. They don't want us to focus on that. This, you know, preppers and people in our environment here, we have a different focus. And the powers that be don't want us to have that kind of focus. They want us to focus on entertainment and just everything, false flags and just everything else. So a lot of people will have endeavors, oh, you know, invest in this, invest in that. And we've even had to turn a lot of little things loose, because you got to look at it in the long term. Because for what someone could have us doing, we could be learning from the Farmer's Almanac or learning wound care, you know. We have to put so many things in perspective, priority, and Dave went over a lot of them today with just preppers, with the different things we have to do, the financial, the video games. You know, people say, "Well, why is that important?" That's very important, because the entertainment is important, and it's just everything. So we have to look at everything as a different type of value than what we used to.
Yes.
And that's part of prepping. Prepping doesn't just mean putting cans in a box and putting it in the basement.
No.
Prepping is a whole mindset that goes
with it. A whole mindset and a lifestyle. Well, hey, we got to get out of here. But, you know, one of the things that I want to say, Sister Davis, and one thing that I would definitely suggest is have some pen and pad, some old school paper, notebook, keep a journal, because your journal is going to be the library and the resource of what happened during this time. You want to write down things now, you know, what we're going through. And I'm telling you, that is such a historical heirloom that you could pass on to your family that will be so priceless in the future, because history will record, but it needs the people that are participating in it to be the writers of it. Because the truth needs to stand on its own.
Good.
So
one more thing before y'all go.
Yeah, go ahead, Jerry.
One more thing before y'all go. I was talking to this. I was going to go and looking at some rifles the other day, and I ran into this older man. I think he was about 73 or 74, and me and him got to talking about different herbs, turmeric, ginger, and garlic, and things of that nature. And he gave me a title of a book, the Amish Medical Records. And he told me that for the things that I was talking about, it would give me all of that in detail and more. So that's a book that should be on everybody's wish list if they can't get it right now.
Right, Jerry. And now's the time to get it. The Amish, what is it called again? The Amish what?
The Amish Medical Cookbook. I believe that's the name of it.
Okay, I'm gonna post it inside of Tando. Or if I miss it, Jerry, post it inside of, and then I'll put it in there. Hey, everyone, we got to get out of here. Thank you, Sister Davis. Thank you, Jerry. Thank you, Rob. Thanks a lot, Scotty. Thank you all for listening today, and we will continue the conversation, keep our eyes open, and prepare for the future. As Brother Malcolm said, the future belongs to those that prepare for it today. Much love and much respect. We will talk to you later. Good night.
Peace.
Peace.
Thanks, Scatter.
Girl, you are rich, even with nothing.